Well, my name's Garrett Higby, and I'm going to be talking about developing an advocate culture in your church, which to some of you may be like, I know what he's talking about, and others you're like, what does that even mean? So I'll try to explain that and then tell you why and how it's been so powerful in my counseling over time. I started 12 Stones Ministries 20 years ago, which is, it's kind of been fun to see that really grow into something where thousands of families have now been there, thousands of advocates have been part of it. Matter of fact, 12 Stones, when we started it, we realized, having done some work with advocates in the church, that we were going to make that a requirement, not an option. And when we made it, I'm so glad we did, because if you make advocacy optional, it will be optional. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people say, I don't even want to talk to you, let alone have a friend in the counseling room. So I want to tell you how, you know, this has kind of changed the way that we do counseling. But before we do that, let me pray, and then I'll start to explain to you a little more about what it takes to be an advocate and have an advocate culture in your church. Lord, we just want to thank you for the time that we have tonight. We're super excited that you would be with us this week in this place, and your word being open and being equipped, being encouraged, the fellowship. Thank you so much that you've been a part of this week for so many years, and so many people have been well-trained and prepared to be a better friend, a better leader in the church, a better counselor, whatever they go back to do. And we're just praising you and want to give you the glory. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so an advocate, that word might bug some people because obviously Jesus is our only advocate, but like it's really a spiritual friend. It's a godly friend or a godly mentor, godly leader in your life that's willing to come alongside you. I think of like Proverbs 17:17, a friend that loves at all times, brother born for adversity. Somebody that'll go into the valley with you and walk through something hard. And so that's really what an advocate is. The idea of advocacy came out of desperation. Back when I was at College Park Church in Indianapolis in the 90s, when we started to do biblical counseling more and more in the church, people from other churches heard about it and started sending all their people. So pretty soon we were inundated with counselees. And I thought, I can't do this. The only thing I can think to do is say, if you're going to send your people, send a leader with them. So that's what we required. So then people would come, and they'd be kind of a combination between what I call an apprentice and an advocate, right? An apprentice is there to learn how to do biblical counseling. An advocate's there to support the counselee. And they can you can kind of be both, but it's hard. But at this point, I was interested in getting leaders from the church in there. It could be a small group leader, could be a staff person, a deacon, an elder, whatever. But to get them in there because I wanted the benevolent virus to go back to the church, right? And so that's what we started doing. But when I saw how it affected the counseling, I was like, I'll never not use advocates again. I will never not do this again, because it just blew my mind how effective it was, not only in the counseling session, it does it give you benefits, but even between sessions, even more so. So I want to describe a little bit of that to you. But in 25 years of doing biblical counseling, there's been no one thing that I've done that has been as effective or helpful as adding advocates into the counseling. Well, let me tell you why I chose to say developing an advocate culture instead of just like, how do we use advocates in counseling? Because I believe that God is calling us in the church to true koinonia, to deeper fellowship, to discipleship with soul care at the heart of it. And if we can teach people how to do that experientially by having them in the room it's unbelievable how eyes get open. I mean, to an advocate, some of you probably have used advocates or maybe been an advocate. It's like, it kind of like blows you away. You're like, what is happening right now? Like, first of all, I just stepped into something. I don't know what I'm doing, but I also stepped into something where the person who's counseling does, and I'm learning a ton, and I'm helping this person, and they're super grateful, and we're making progress, and the Word of God is being taught in a way I maybe haven't heard it quite so personally, and the Spirit of God is moving in ways that sort of is blowing me away, and I'm praying and interceding in a way maybe I haven't done for anyone else for a long time, and this is awesome. I want to do more of this, right? We hear that all the time at 12 Stones. We hear that all the time at the churches that are using advocates. So imagine now that you've been doing it for a few years. Imagine now that you have like 50 advocates in your church that have been through counseling at one way or another. Imagine how they start to affect the small groups, start to affect other relationships, start to affect the counseling ministry. That's why it becomes a culture. It starts to change the culture of your church. It's really, really cool. It's really kind of intentional one anothering that should have been going on anyway, but now it's going on because they saw the power of it and they saw the beauty of it. And so then they start to do that with other people. I mean, it really is John 13, 34, and 35 being lived out, right? It's the church being known by its love, and love being very outward and intentional and active in the life of the church. The other thing that it does is it helps your counselors, because I don't know about you, but like, if you do get a lot of people coming, it can be a bit overwhelming. And when you get advocates in there, it kind of mitigates some of that so that, like, you don't get the first call. You get the second call, you know. The homework does get done because the advocate's calling the person making sure it's getting done, right? There's ways that the advocate just really helps, okay? So all of a sudden you feel like, I don't have to be the advocate, the apprentice, the counselor, the pastor. You can stay in your lane, and it really helps. So it leverages some of that work between, and it also helps even in the counseling because it lowers the liability and risk of something happening in the counseling session that could come back to you or the church. Imagine this. If you've got somebody that loves the counselee sitting there with them, what are the chances something wrong is going to happen in the counseling room? Or that you're going to be accused of something? It's almost gone. So people sometimes will tell me, I've had this happen a few times over the years, we're not going to do biblical counseling in our church because it's a liability issue. I'm like, I can fix that for you. Use advocates. You pretty much just mitigated that whole issue for the most part. And again, I'm thinking about that, you know, I'm thinking of like Proverbs 15:22, this idea where there's a multitude of counselors or where there's teams or there's different people, eyes on the situation, there's very little chance of something really being done poorly or without feedback or something being done immorally because there's people there all the time. And it's female advocates for females, males with males. It's always same gender. Multiply the ministry of soul care experientially. Think of experientially, it's kind of like, I could think of a couple places in Scripture, but one of them is 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul's telling Timothy to entrust what he's been taught to other men who will entrust it to other men who are trustworthy and of high character. And think of that, that's four generations. But if you look at the way that Jesus discipled, you look at the way that Paul disciples Timothy, it's very experiential. It's like, watch me, come with me, do this with me, let me watch you do this. And that kind of, with advocacy, when you're sitting there watching a counselor do what they do well, it's so much more than sitting and reading a book. It's so much more than trying to just get the basics of biblical counseling. You're starting to see something happen, and it's getting you excited about maybe being a counselor yourself someday of some kind. Okay? And then it really increases